Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
Okay, so Maggie and Rachel are out of town this week. So thank you for being my co-host.
You're welcome.
Wing woman.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to just talk a little bit about first how we know each other.
Okay.
We met because your sister
grew up with your husband.
And it was love at first sight.
I know, right? My sister heard I was coming to the area.
Like how many years ago?
Oh my God. This is prior to 2004-ish, I'm going to say five. And she said, hey, you're going out there to visit your in-laws. Those in-laws at the time.
Ex-in-laws.
And which was in Nashville.
For the starter husband.
Yeah, for the starter husband, I upgraded.
Yeah.
She said, hey, Seth and Andrea are out in that direction. You should connect with them. And she sent me your number, and we connected.
That was it.
The end. And what connected us was we were high-powered women. Like, just, I think we were in the same industry because at the time, I was working at D.R. Horton, and you were working for a land developer or selling land?
I was doing land assemblage.
Yeah. And so we just, connected.
Okay. So let's talk about that, because you just said you were working for a builder.
Yes.
So you didn't start your own company, like, well, let's rewind, because we've talked about on the first couple podcasts that, like, I have a degree in nothing. It's School of Hard Knocks.
Me too.
So, like, where did you go to school?
So apparently I went to high school. So I have, like, an actual diploma.
Oh, me too.
Well, isn't that great?
Yeah.
I know our stories are a little crazy,
though. Did anybody ever ask to look at that?
No, yeah. Never once. No.
Fascinating.
It's usually just a box you check.
It's weird, isn't it?
So, and I work for a large corporation, too. No, I have my diploma. Altogether, in 12 years of school, I actually attended 6 years of school. Between being sick and all of this, I don't do well with being in school. And I graduated at 15 because I figured I can make money instead of sitting here in school and just listening to somebody talk. So I left and started making money. I worked at a financial advisor firm.
And then what?
I was doing that for a couple years. Then I worked for an engineering firm. I was just executive assistant. Oh, I worked for a landscaping company at the time. And so I'm from California. I don't know if everybody else knows. So I am based out of California. And the largest landscaping company at the time, I worked for them, executive assistant, and then got married, moved to Texas. I couldn't handle Texas because they moved at it where I lived in El Paso. It was very slow construction and I was really fast. So we moved back home, and within a year, I answered an ad for a office manager position, and she said, hey, you know what? You have a lot of computer experience. Mind you, I am 21 years old. She's like, you have a lot of computer experience. Do you want to learn AutoCAD? And I'm like, what the heck is AutoCAD? Sure. So she's like, I'll pay for it. So she sent me to school for 3 days. I picked it up within two. And basically what they were doing is in 1998, they started Edison, which is the largest electric company in the United States. They started allowing outsiders to design their infrastructure. So a developer, D.R. Horton, KB, Pulte, all those, can opt to have Edison design their system and take 6 months, 8 months to do it, or pay you or me to do it and get it done in 2 or 3 weeks. Well, construction in the 90s, early 2000s, especially in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007. 24-hour days. So they would always hire an outside consultant. So I actually started the whole program with Edison. I was one of the first designers. And I was actually AutoCADing an ex-Edison employee's designs. And then I just picked it up and started designing them myself. And then the developers liked what I was doing and asked me to go in-house. So I got offered by KB Homes, D.R. Horton, and Lennar all asked me to work for them in-house. They didn't want to share me with anyone else. I picked D.R. Horton and worked with them for a little over 10 years. And at the end of those 10 years, which was in 2014.
Hold on, we're going to stop.
Oh, stop me there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because people see the tip of the iceberg, right? So, you know, you get to go travel all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You get to go shop and buy whatever you want and do whatever you want. But 14 years in-house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a grind.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't, like, a pat on the head. You picked something up and then...
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, it was working for a Fortune 500. They are, you know, still currently the number one home builder in the United States. So the grind was to a whole nother level. And then came the recession. So, you know, I was part of just in the state of California. We were, I don't know, 7 divisions down to 2. And I survived, and that was incredible. And the reason why I survived was I remember my boss came into my office one day and said, if you want a job after tomorrow, because every day it was layoffs, like right. Once a week, it was like this person's getting laid off. I mean, it was just 10 people, 20 people getting laid off. My position didn't exist. My position never existed in any home builder across the United States. It just, they made it up in-house because normally it's a purchased out or it's a contractor out. And they said, if you want to survive, you need to make yourself worth it. So I started reading tariffs and I started reading like things from the Public Utility Commission. Every single state has it. And it's what governs the public utilities, you know, Atlanta Power.
So what did that get you? Why was that so important?
So I started reading those because I realized that there was money that was owed to the developer because during the 2002, 3, 4, 5 rush, they were just putting stuff in the ground. They didn't care about money. Nobody cared about money. Now we're 2007, 8, 9, 10, and we're looking for pennies everywhere we can. And I realized we had contracts that was... they were signed and they were owed money or that they paid for Frontier or Verizon at the time or AT&T. They paid, the developer paid to put their infrastructure in the ground. They didn't, per their tariff, per the rules that govern FCC rules that govern the utilities, they didn't have to pay for that. They should have been reimbursed. So I went through all the contracts and I started going around to all the different states. I was in charge of the Western U.S. and started finding the money. And I started pulling old contracts because they're good for 10 years. So I started going back through all these contracts and I found millions and millions of dollars that the developer needed. Mind you, I am no degreed and I'm just like reading, okay, they owe you or they are supposed to put this. Okay, they didn't. So you owe me the money.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
Take me now.
So I went to my boss and I was like, so... I think that they can pay us back all this money. And he's like, okay, let's make it happen. So that's why I stayed. That's why they kept me is because I started actually bringing in money. And during that time, I was probably the only one bringing in the money.
Yeah.
No, they were still selling homes. But, you know, it was a lot. It was much slower back then, obviously, as we all know. And that's what kept me on.
So how did you know to start going to read that stuff?
I was looking at a contract. I was processing a contract. And I just slowed down and read it. And I was just like, let me just read it instead of just passing the paper and getting it signed and moving on. And it said that I had the option to have the utility install it. So then I just started doing the research about it. And I was like, well, that must be mandated. They don't just say that. So that's when I started going into the tariffs and I started looking up AT&T's, you know, and back then it's Pac Bell and Verizon was GTE. And we're talking going way back, looking into all the fine print. And it was like, we are to provide the infrastructure for the customer at no cost. If the customer will provide the infrastructure, you will be reimbursed. And so that's when I just looked at it like, okay, this is something that the home builder is due. And they did. So they started getting all that money back. And we still do that to this day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sure. Because the easiest way to make yourself invaluable
is to make money.
Yeah.
For somebody else.
And to have a rate of return on your salary.
Right.
Because those of us that are, we run or own businesses, like just to turn on the lights every month, just to exist, can be $50,000, $100,000, $200,000.
Oh, yeah.
Just
oh, yeah.
to exist.
Oh, yeah.
You have not done anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pay your employees, health insurance, everything.
Everything.
Yep.
And so for an employer to turn around and somebody is, like, there's no ands, ifs, or buts. That person is making you an ROI on their salary.
Absolutely.
I would pay that every day, hands down, no questions asked.
Agreed.
And so you made yourself invaluable.
Yes. I was making them millions and millions of dollars. And I was not getting paid that by any means. I was a normal employee at the time.
But you kept your job.
I kept my job. And it was shocking because I was the only one at church or I was the only one in my circle of friends that had a job during. I mean, all my friends were laid off, which actually is how I started my company now, is because all of my coworkers were laid off, you know, my project managers. And when they were laid off, they had to go find other jobs. So later on, when I left D.R. Horton, my ex-coworkers are now my clients from other home builders, and they know what I'm worth. They know what I'm able to do. So I didn't have to sell myself. They know what I was doing for them when they worked at D.R. Horton. So it has, I can't say enough about networking as far as keeping those people you work with close. You never know when you're going to need that person again.
Well, and I think it goes back to something that I learned a long time ago, is the chessboard is always a lot bigger than you think it is.
Oh, that's a good point.
And that you never know how people are connected.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It can be in the future.
Oh, and in construction, I'm sure it's the same in Georgia, in California. You run into somebody, it's always the 3 degrees, the Kevin Bacon. It's the same thing in construction. Somebody has already worked for somebody. I mean, I have one client who has worked for 4 of my clients. And they've become my clients because that one person has gone to each one of those different home builders. And therefore, I stick with him. And I'm now still with his old previous employer because obviously we've made a reputation, right?
Yeah.
A relationship. So it's worked out really nice. It's and again, this is answering an ad to be a project, not a project manager, an office manager. This is how it started.
Yeah, but also the word that I keep hearing is curiosity.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because if you weren't curious at all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, curious from the standpoint of how I can keep my job, curious how I can make more money. So everybody wants to make more money, right? I mean, we wouldn't be doing anything that we're doing right now if it was just for free. I mean, there's benefits from the standpoint of doing things that are, you know, charity or...
Money is good for the good money can do.
Yes, exactly.
And you can't help people if you can't help yourself first.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was always curious on how we can make more money or how can I help my boss? How can I help my boss keep a job? How can I help my coworkers keep a job? Like, it wasn't just keeping me employed, it was keeping my friends and family. Because these people, to today, are my friends and family. They stuck through with you, through the downturn, they had faith in you. I mean, just for somebody to look at you and be like, okay, if you think you could do it, do it. I mean, even when I left and went on my own, it was like, you know what, we think you can do it. And they pushed me to do it.
So let's go back to that.
Yeah.
What did that look like?
So in 2014, I was getting pulled in so many different directions. I was working still kind of regionally for Horton, and I needed some more support because home building was coming back and we needed more help. So I said, okay, I need another assistant and I need a full-time cat. And they were like, you know, we just can't, because you are through the corporate structure at that point. You can't just hire somebody and just be like, okay, here, they're on payroll.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that in a Fortune 500 company. So I said, hey, listen, I got an idea. Why don't I leave? And I will I will work on all the projects that I've already started. And then I would just bid on everything else that comes about. And you don't have to worry about anything about paying me and all of my employees. You will just pay the contract. I will be a contractor at that point. And they said, all right, that sounds good. Submit a proposal. I submitted a proposal for all the projects I was already currently working on, because I had already submitted on all of these work orders. So I was already the engineer on record for them. And so I started my company with those contracts, and that's how I started. It was literally that easy. I was an employee one day and an employee not the next day.
So scary.
Oh my God. My husband at the time and all of my friends and my coworkers had been telling, they had more faith in me than I did. They had been telling me for years, you need to go on your own. I mean, even people at Horton were like, you know, you can make a lot more money if you did this on your own. I just didn't have the faith in myself. And finally, I just did it. I had so many people rooting for me. Like, Gina, you can do this. You can, like, start on your own and get, and I did. And that, it was so scary. If I didn't have the help of, I had an ex-coworker who did the same thing. She left, started her own HOA management company. She just left the realms of the corporation and started working her own firm. And so she was small enough where she said, hey, Gina, when you leave, you can rent an office from me. I rented it from her for $400. So I rented a little room from her, and that's where my plotter, my cat, all that stuff was. It was two people. I hired myself an assistant, and she helped me. And if I didn't have the help of everybody around me, I couldn't have done it. It was fabulous. I really appreciate all the help that everyone gave me.
Yeah.
And here I am.
And you hired an assistant right off the bat.
Yes, I did. Why? I needed help from, I work on the more technical aspect, which is really time consuming. Cost estimates, looking at bids, designing. I designed the electrical infrastructure for PG&E, Edison, SDG&E. I'm a designer for them. I'm a certified designer. And I couldn't keep track of the emails coming in, but the processing of contracts and all the little stuff, I mean, those are easy, but that's not where my brain needs to be. It needs to be on the tedious numbers. That's what made us successful. So I needed to have somebody help me with that. I hired an assistant who I did end up marrying, but so that worked out really nice. I got a little bit of what did happen at first?
I was gonna say, let's rewind real quick. Like, it wasn't because he showed up that the starter husband exited the picture.
No. My ex-husband at the time was already 1 foot out.
Yes.
So we had stayed.
Asshole.
Yeah. Yes, you do know. For 2 years, he was helping. Actually, it was just a year, just 1 year. So during starting up my business, he was with me for a year, and then I just found out that I wasn't the only one he was. Anyways, so that kind of split in 2015 or 16, I think it was 2016, and me and my assistant didn't get together or hook up or anything like that until late 2017. I mean, I was well divorced after that, but got married in 2018, but he was just a friend at the time for many years. And he actually tried to even like my husband, and that wasn't my ex-husband at the time. So anyways, I hired him. I had to hire a CAD operator. So yes, I could do CAD, but I hate doing it. Again, that's tedious stuff that I don't need my brain to be working on, staring at a computer, click. That's how I got into the industry, but that's not how I was going to stay in the industry. And so I hired an expert in that, and that's what he was doing. Then we grew a little bit bigger. I needed to get myself a bigger office. I got myself a really nice office. Then I hired myself an office manager, kind of like a Girl Friday that worked Monday through Friday. But she did everything, you know, she was the first one in the office, make sure the coffee was made and all that kind of stuff. Opened the mail. She was just like, wasn't per se my assistant, but she was the office. She was the office manager.
Yeah.
And so had her. I had two CAD operators. I hired another one that's part-time, and I had one full-time. And then I had my assistant that turned into being an actual partner. So that worked out really well.
So, yeah. So leverage, like when you're running a business, a lot of people think that that you start out like you're going to be good. You're going to work on your weaknesses, and you're going to be good at like all this stuff.
Right.
And I know that running a real estate business, there's 196 different tasks associated with that. And there's no possibility that anybody can be good at all of those.
Right.
So, like, do you believe you should be working on your weaknesses or hiring for that?
Oh, absolutely hiring for that.
Yeah.
The best manager is having the best people underneath them. And I will take that to my grave. Right now, currently, I've grown to about 10 employees. And the staff that I have today, I can't even speak high. I can't, for the first time in my life, I've been able to go on a vacation and not worry about my company. That's never happened before. That's how you know you have hired correctly. I mean, the fact that they come in and they process your contracts, they keep the job, they talk. I mean, there's at times my clients would rather talk to them than me anytime. But when it comes to some of the very specific things that are really technical, yes, that lays on me. But hiring the staff that is better than you, especially in your weaknesses, like me paying attention to the tedious little things, is the key to anyone being successful. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard Bezos and who's the guy that was at Apple that just passed away? Mind blank.
Steve Jobs. Oh, gee, Lord, yeah.
He says, always hire somebody smarter than you.
Always.
That's the smartest thing to do. And never be that kind of boss that is looking into every single thing that they're doing, micromanaging. That's the worst thing you do. It brings down the morale. It scares people into working for you. You don't want that. I try to make the best working environment for my employees so that they're happy. They are overcompensated. And by doing that, they will work and be loyal to you more than you can ever express in money words. And I'm indebted to my employees today.
Well, and it's interesting because not everybody is us. Not everybody will take the leap of faith because yes, as a company owner, you're paying yourself a salary, but if you don't go make that happen and keep it going,
right?
I mean, you essentially wake up unemployed every day.
Absolutely. I mean, don't get paid unless my client decides that he wants to pay me.
Right. And so, and if you don't keep those contracts coming in, you don't keep those relationships going and all of that. And so a lot of people don't have the stomach for that.
Yes, that's very true.
And that's okay. What it is finding the right person like you to align themselves with where it's like, I see where I can help you do more.
Absolutely.
And therefore that can pay off for both of us.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Making them successful makes you successful.
Right. And so it's like, there's not a whole world, probably, thankfully, everybody should be thankful that there's not a whole world of us.
Oh God.
It'd be too much.
Oh my God.
It would be way too much for everybody. But that's the thing is like, find your genius and stay in it.
Agreed.
It doesn't need to be, like, everybody can't be running the company, but find your genius, love it, and skip to work every day.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, what do you do to reward yourself?
What do I do to reward myself? I sleep in.
Okay.
That's my reward, honestly. I don't like being at a desk at 8 a.m. and I'm not at a desk at 8 a.m. Am I looking at my emails from my bed? Absolutely. That is my reward in all honesty. I, being under the corporate structure, stressing that it's 7:30 and I haven't left the house yet and having that, but knowing I'm going to work until 7:30 p.m. or 8:30 or 9:30. And that's the reason why I did have flexibility is because I gave 100%. But that beginning time, we're all different. I know you're a morning person. We're so flip-flopped.
We are.
And that's great because my employees, I have employees that are flip-flopped. You know, I've got some that are total morning people and just start dying off at 4 or 5. And I've got my personal assistant or my assistant that's, she runs on the same battery as me. She likes to work at night. So it, you know, by having multiple different personalities and work ethics and work areas and zones and really having all of those works well in a company, but rewarding myself is definitely by sleeping in or, I like luxury. I can't admit that I don't. I do like my Louis Vuittons and my Chanels and stuff like that. And I couldn't have those things if it wasn't for my badass crew that I have. So, that's how I sleep in and I like to reward myself with nice things.
Okay. So let's say too, like, cause if people have been listening since the beginning, they heard that Rachel and Maggie are not big travelers. They're more like, and Cindy likes to travel, but is more of like work, like they are in it and then they kind of have their like places they go. Like, so Rachel right now is in Sandestin. And Maggie's at Hilton Head Island. That's like their jams.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, but me and you, we don't want to go everywhere.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm in Atlanta right now.
Yeah.
And I've been here for a month working normal.
Well, you haven't been here for a month yet.
I mean, it will be next week.
It won't.
It's three weeks.
You're rounding up and
it's 3 weeks and 5 days,
right,
I'm
so
saying.
You're rounding up.
I know.
I'm still jacked.
I know.
This is what happens when one of your really closest friends lives freaking across the country.
You get to
argue with them about how much time they've spent with you. No, but I think that is so cool because I know you're not KW, obviously, but we talk a lot about that you go to work every day so they can live a life by design.
Yes.
And so my life
by design. The design you want.
Correct. So my life by design is I do like being in my office at 7 a.m. because I want to leave by 4.
Right, right.
Like, that's my life by design. Like, I want to be done because I love having, oh my gosh, there's that quiet time.
Right.
And I have, like, it's then for me. I can set up my whole day. And my executive assistant starts at 7:30 in the morning. So if I'm there at 7...
You have a little bit of quiet time. Get your mind situated.
I've got her prepped. Mm-hmm, and she's off and running from 7:30 to 8. She's got all, like, the menial, like, crap that's got to get done right off the bat.
Right.
Like, she's on that. And then I've got two of my team who also like to be there early. So they come in at, like, 7:30. And so, yeah.
I'm still sleeping.
I know. I'm texting you. And I'm getting no responses. Yes. I'm like, are you alive yet?
No, you're not.
And so, you're right. That balance, because I have other people in our leadership team who they are going to work later.
Yep. That's me. I will be up at midnight, 2 a.m. working and emailing.
Whatever makes you happy. I don't care.
Right.
Why are you married to people like their hours or whatever. Like, who cares? Like, nail it where your feet are.
At that point, you can say that Keller Williams is open 24 hours.
I'm not. Don't call me. No, because what happens is if I see somebody who's called me and it's like really late.
Right.
My and I'm totally giving myself away here. My most fun thing to do is I get up at about 5:30 in the morning.
I know you are totally
going to get a call or a text back from me as soon as I wake up because I'm trying to be responsive.
Right.
But let's be honest, I know they're not awake.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. That's the best time to respond, so you're not going to get a response. I get it all the time! That's why I'm emailing at 2, 3 in the morning. I'm like, they're not responding. It's really bad when a client responds. I'm like, why are you
responding? Right, why are you responding? I'm not mad at you. I know. No, my managing broker, Henry, he's up with at the same time. And Maggie, I know she's up. And it's so funny because Maggie and Joseph and I will text at that time because I know they're awake. They know I'm awake. And then what's hilarious is Rachel, the other girl on our podcast, she's like, okay, I'm gonna try and be with you guys. She's not like that either. She's your schedule, right?
Right.
So she's like, I'm gonna try and do this with you guys. And so like a couple days in a row, I texted her, I was like, how's it going? She's like, I'm alive. And then I just finally stopped texting her because I felt bad because I knew this is not like, I mean, I know she works out every morning, but I don't think she's continued with the 5 a.m. I don't know. Rachel, if you did, I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus there, but yeah. So, but everybody being different is the best thing
that you could ever have. Agreed.
So you work adjacent to your husband. I mean, technically.
Yes, I do.
Technically, you are his boss.
Yes, I am.
So I work with my husband.
Yes, you do.
Maggie is partners with her husband.
Yes.
Rachel and Shane used to be partners.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy, bless it, has managed to never be partners in business with her husband. She's the only one.
Yes.
All right. So how does that work for you guys? Because a lot of people, I mean, let's just say that running businesses, period. We are operating in a man's world.
Yes, we are. And that's such a key.
Because when you walk into a room,
mm-hmm.
and if they don't know you,
mm-hmm.
and you and Steve come in together, who are they immediately going to start directing stuff to?
Well, I can't really say. Typically, it would be the man. But I have such a hardcore, reputation already.
But let's for kicks and giggles,
let's say you're
at a trade show.
Oh, 100% talking to my husband. 100%. And he has to turn and be like, well, Gina, because I have been in this industry for 27 years. He's been in this industry for just shy of 10. So I definitely, most people know me when I'm walking into a meeting. Of course, they already know. Now they do prefer to talk to my husband because he's nicer, but that's a whole nother
story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, when it's at a trade show, I'm in construction. They're not looking at the blonde with boobs. They are looking at the man that's standing there. And they don't know that the woman next to him is the one that owns the company, has made the success. And I will be honest, of my 10 employees, I have 7 of them are females. And that includes myself. My husband being one of the male, and my 2 CAD operators are men. Other than them 3, it's a female-driven, and we are the only one. That's the thing is, we're a dry utility consultant. We're the only female-owned, female-ran. Now, the other ones do have female employees, my competitors, but they are not female-owned and female-ran. And I do like to pride myself on that because it is my industry, my little industry of working with the public utilities. I am that female that is kind of a, you know, tiger, lion, or as everybody calls me, the pit bull. And you've kind of had to almost do that to get recognized. I'm not saying that you have to be the mean person, but you have to kind of stand your ground and not be able to be walked all over because you are the female. And that's really sad to say, but we are looked over because we look as the weaker vessel or as the one that can't hold our own or the person that doesn't know construction. I mean, they're going to look at your husband, the man, or any male employee, and he's going to be the one they're going to go to about backhoes and conduit and trenching and shoring. They're not going to know that I know all that information and I teach classes on that. So yeah, that's been a very big challenge in the beginning until people start to get to know you. Then they're like, oh yeah, okay, never mind, it's her. So that is definitely a challenge.
Yeah. So like for us, there's plenty of real estate agents that are women.
Oh yeah.
But not that run real estate like companies. So like Rachel, Maggie, they're running company teams. Like,
sure.
So they're not, yes, they are real estate agents.
Sure.
But they're running businesses.
Right.
Cindy's a loan officer. There are very few.
Right.
Very few.
Really?
On the finance side.
Really? Yeah, interesting.
Very
interesting.
Few. And so, yeah, it is like, okay, the perception is, oh, well, yeah, you're going to be great at selling real estate because you're bubbly and sweet and kind. You can go put a sign in the yard. And you're like, that is not what we do. And so, yeah, it is, and especially on running and operating brokerages and stuff, that mm-hmm. is very male-dominated. Very male.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fascinating since a lot of the real estate agents are women, that most of them are not owned and operated by
interesting,
women.
Interesting,
interesting. It's still, that side of it is still very male-dominated. And so it is different dynamics when you start showing up. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm blonde. That's your natural color.
Yes, but I have not colored my hair in 10 years.
I mean, I'm birthed this color, but I will confess it has not come out of my head this color in a hot minute. And, you know, the perception is you're dingy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. And just being, I mean, even taking it past the hair color, I mean, just us being a bubbly people.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't really know us behind the scenes. We're not that bubbly.
All right.
But when we are around people, we are. And so immediately it does. It does the dingle hopper is what we are assigned with. Until we start talking. Then they're like, oh, wait, this person can hold their own. Like, I would love to. I have no problem walking in a room of all men I've never met. I don't care if they're in construction, they're in finance, they're attorneys. I can hold my own. I know that I can talk to them, shop about anything. It doesn't, I know, sports, they got me at sports. Okay. I don't
I
have sports.
I hear one more sports analogy.
I know, I'm sorry.
Even in masterminds and stuff, I like, yes. They'll be like, and then so-and-so ran some touchdown. I'm like, could yes. you use yep. some analogy? Yep. Like, give me anything besides yep. sports, or at least baseball. I can get there on baseball, but that's really it.
I could do maybe some basketball. I it's really hard. But with everything else, I can hold my own. And that's where I think makes you feel good, and it gives you kind of like the pep to where you can stand your own, because you can hold almost any conversation as long as they keep it out of. I mean, even if they want to get weird, I could absolutely hold my own on that.
We know. Too, that the key there is not being embarrassed,
no,
and not getting
nothing shocked,
and not getting your feathers ruffled
or feelings hurt.
Oh, that's a big
yes.
one.
You cannot be easily stumbled. Now, does not mean that you can't stand for your own and be like, you know, hey, you shouldn't say that about a woman or this and that. But it's all in how you present it.
It is.
It's all in how you twist it. You can be that, you know, stone cold person, or you could be like, you know, that's funny if, and kind of make it a twist and make them feel bad.
Yes.
So turn the embarrassment to them, and that is where you can actually make the whole mood change, and also tell them where you stand. So you have to have that a little bit perceived in the back of your mind before even walking into a situation like that.
Well, and I think too is like, I don't know about you, but I've never cried in front of a man.
Oh gosh.
That is in a business setting kind, because that will immediately
put you in that category.
Yeah, it's like the word, it's funny, I was listening to this podcast that it was attorneys talking, and it was a man and a woman, they're prosecutors, and they were talking about, like, or maybe it was the defense attorneys, whatever, it doesn't matter, and they were talking about, like, the word hysterical. When's the last time you heard a man referred to as being hysterical?
Never.
And never. A woman could be just crying and immediately labeled as hysterical, which means that gives you that connotation of irrational.
Right.
Can't talk to her.
Right.
No matter what I'm saying. Oh, you can't process it. So, like, just going in with any conversation, because the other thing with being a business owner is you get to have a lot of tough conversations.
Oh, yes, you do.
And
yes,
you can't
you do.
Hide from.
No, you can't. No,
because
you can't.
If you're skittish around having those tough conversations,
right.
Find your tribe person who's, like, the one who will run to Kim Estes, our lead investor, says something that's great. It's leaders run to conflict.
Oh, good one. I like that.
Yeah, and so that you have to, because you're leading, you must run to the conflict, and you must engage with it first.
Oh, yeah. That's
you excellent. Have to.
Yes.
And so just...
You can't run from conflict.
Oh, no.
No.
No. No. You'll be out of business.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first time, the minute somebody thinks that you are weak...
Oh, they'll take advantage of that. The world will take advantage of that in a heartbeat. You can't show any signs of weakness. You cannot. Especially in a woman-owned company. You cannot show that you are weak. And you have to be able to hold your own. You have to.
And so any hard conversation you're going to have it pre-scripted in your head.
Oh, yeah.
Practice it ahead of time.
Agreed. People underestimate.
I've gotten told this, and I'm positive you have too, is like, but you just like can articulate what you want to say, and you just, it flows out. No, it's because I've processed it.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not going in unprepared and hoping for the best.
And you know, that's something I think that women have to do a lot more than men, because men can walk into a room or walk into a situation and know that they're not going to typically be judged, that they aren't going to be questioned or looked up and down and thought, you know, what somebody else is already preempting what there is going to come out of their mouth. They don't have to worry about that. We do. So I know as a woman, we have to already be thinking a lot more of what we have to say, what we're going to say, what we're going to do into a room. How are we going to present ourselves? Are we going to present ourselves with our chin up? Or are we going to walk into a room and go right over the punch bowl and get ourselves a drink and just sit there? So that's something that men just don't have to worry about. And that I wish they could understand where we're at and all the work it took to get us to stand in a room to talk to other gentlemen. It's a lot.
It is. No, and Seth and I have had so many debates over this, because I publicly speak every single week for at least an hour. And then he publicly speaks at church.
Right.
And for like 30 minutes, and he's like, it's not the same. Like, it's, you can engage differently. And I'm like,
yes.
Bloody hell, it's public speaking.
Right.
But it is different, and it is the way, you know, the engagement. And we finally agreed to agree that it's different. And so it is different when you have to show up and prove your validity.
Yes. It's almost like, it's so funny. My husband said, when he explains to others, when he watched me walk into a meeting, it was a pre-trench meeting, and there was an inspector who didn't know me. And he goes, she walked in, gave her resume, and kept talking. Like, I have been doing this for 15, 20 years at the time, whatever it happens to be. I've been working here, there, there, there. Are you going to listen to me? So men don't have to do that. They don't have to walk into a room and be like, hey, I've worked at this company, that company, I've been doing this. No. They're automatically looked at by everyone in the room that when they're speaking, that they have a resume behind them. They don't do that with us.
You know what's funny about that is I do that every time that I teach or speak publicly, like outside the people that know me in my bubble.
Sure.
That never crossed my mind that I do give an entire resume every single time.
You do? It's because we have to show everybody that's listening to us, we're worthy of listening to. We have these credentials. Granted, it wasn't through a school book. It was through the whole on-site, you know, real world experience. We have been there. We didn't just get the diploma. We actually have lived it. And it's our way of proving to everybody what I'm about to say next. The whole reason why you and you and you and you are all here is because of what I have been through. And I'm going to tell you, like, why you're going to believe me. And then now we can talk about what we're going to talk about.
No, that's crazy. I've never even thought about that before. Mm-hmm. But even when I'm teaching, so I do once a month or once a quarter or something like that. I will teach for the public a new home buyer seminar that our agents invite their clients or prospective clients to, so they can learn more about the process overall. I always start with my resume.
Yep. And I've been doing this for.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And here's my credentials. And here's my everything. Credentials. And when I teach other agents outside, it's a whole like 5-minute spiel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked to hear a woman in business that doesn't do the same. I was privileged to be at a women's group, but the BIA in our area, the Builders Association, in every area you have a BIA here. They did a woman, like the presidents that are the big home builders that are the divisions that are female. And they started off the panel, so it was three women for three different home builders. Very respectable women. I would have to say that two of them are my mentors today. And they started off with, here's how I got here. Here's where I've been, which normally you would with a male or female being interviewed on a panel. But they do that a lot. And that was one of the things they spoke about, is being a woman in a man's world. They can't just walk into a room and just start talking. They say, I've been doing this for X amount of years. They just naturally have to do it. I would be shocked to to hear a woman saying that they don't have to do that before they do a presentation or before they give, they're in a room full of a bunch of gentlemen and they don't say, well, I've been doing this for, you just naturally say it. You don't even think about it.
Yeah. You don't even think about it.
No.
All right. So best piece of advice you've gotten along the way.
Best piece I've gotten or best piece I can give. Okay. Let's do with the gotten.
Gotten.
Okay. Best piece I've gotten is you can do it. Just do it. Just do it. I had more people, other people believe in me than I believed in myself, like I was telling you before. Just do it. So by just going out and starting your own business, first thing to do is to get your business company name and get your corporate documents. All that stuff is $800. You could do it yourself, LegalZoom, or get an attorney, whatever it happens to be. The best piece of advice that I had gotten was that you just need to go do it. Just do it. Forget about all the issues behind you and just do it.
So you've made no mistakes and it's been...
Oh my God, are you kidding me? No, of course I've made mistakes. You wouldn't be human if you didn't, and you wouldn't be successful if you didn't. I mean, if you look at all the big names that I mentioned before, they absolutely have made mistakes. And the point is to learn from them and not to repeat them. That is the most important piece. Okay, oh, I did that wrong. I did that bid wrong. Or I presented this incorrectly. What can I do? Don't repeat the mistakes. Learn from them. That is probably the best advice anyone can take away from something.
So Gary Keller says something really cool. He says, if you don't go back and visit your biggest regrets, then they will revisit you because you will repeat them.
Yes, you will. And the whole point is not to, because you don't grow. You keep going back a step. Every time you make a mistake, you go back 2 steps. But you grow when you don't make them again and you learn from those.
Okay. You just go make new ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's constantly a ladder of just, okay, I'm going, okay, all right. And you keep going up. Nobody is going on a ladder just to go back down. You are going into a direction to go up. And so you will never learn or never achieve greatness until you have learned from your mistakes.
And just do it is Nike's,
of course,
you know, slogan. But it's one of the most powerful because it's only action based. And so I love that that's what you went to was like get into action. Because
yes.
If you don't go get into some sort of action.
Right.
You're going. No,
yes.
You're
exactly.
Not going
to get there. Just do it. Just go for it. Do it. Start the company. Don't look back. Just do it. That was the best piece. And that is where I am today. It's because I was pushed by so many people just to do it. It's not going to hurt you. Pull out what's your company name? Go and register it.
Well,
just do it.
And did you have like all these millions of dollars? Like,
oh my God. No. I started off with $0.
So how'd you pay $0. Your assistant? Right?
My first assistant came after I had worked through some contracts and I had done a billing.
But you had to save up, put that money aside and
agreed.
Not pay you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You don't get paid. And I didn't have a savings account. We went a month or two without paying the mortgage. There was things that had to happen. I'm not suggesting anyone do that. But that is what I had to do until my first billing. Because you have to remember, now that you work for yourself, you're not waiting for your W-2 or for your paycheck to come and get deposited in your mail. In fact, when I got married, I had gotten all caught up in the whole marriage thing. I had forgotten to do my billing before I had left for my wedding.
Second marriage.
Yes. The best marriage. The only one that matters.
The only one that matters.
Yeah. The first one was
because I was like, you weren't billing anybody with the...
No. Starter husband. Gosh, no. So my husband and I, which my assistant / partner, we had, you know, we were going to Hawaii to get married and I forgot to do my billing, started stressing out because when you do billing, it takes normal people, normal companies, 30 to 45 to 60 days to pay you. So when you do your billing, you're not going to have income for about 2 months. So I had forgotten to do that. Then I stressed out during the wedding. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have to do my billing. Still didn't do it. Then when I went to do it, my computer crashed. So it was just one thing after another. If it wasn't for those gift cards that I had gotten at my wedding reception, we would have gone poor. We would have starved. I might have helped me with my weight loss, but I would have starved to death if it wasn't for the cash that we had gotten at the wedding.
And I only sent you glasses.
Yeah, you sent me glasses. So
with,
I'm just,
with,
yeah.
With the platinum on them,
yes.
But I don't think you could have scraped off
enough
to sell.
No, and I tried.
Yeah,
it wasn't good enough. So that was an interesting piece. So you have to remember that you are creating your own money in 60 days. So don't look at every contract like, yes, I scored a contract. My contracts, my $20, $30, $60, $100,000 contracts, takes 3 to 5 years to pay out. It's over the course of construction, and we all know how long it takes to build a home. So we are not, we're billing every 3 months a percentage of what we did in that 3 months. And there could be times where 6 months we didn't even work on that project because construction stopped. So you have to be able to juggle and understand your finances. So it's one thing about knowing what you do for a living, but now you have to take on all the financial aspects and know how the whole accounting world. And then, of course, I did hire the most amazing accountant. And she works for you now too.
Yes.
Yes, I she does have the same blood that runs through my veins that runs through hers. Best decision I ever made. And she has the same, she did the same thing. She just woke up one day and said, I'm going to start my own company. I have my accounting certificates and I am going to start my own bookkeeping company. And she did. Now she works. She's got, you know, 20, 30 different clients and she just started it up herself. And if it wasn't for her, oh my goodness, I wouldn't have money today. I would forget the bill. I forget the bill.
None of us would be in
good shape. Yeah, I know. So Thank you for our financial fairy.
Financial fairy. That's what I'm naming her. She was like, financial fairy.
She's, yeah. Yep. Wait, yes.
So, okay. So best piece of advice you would give?
Best advice I can give, other than believe in yourself, hire people smarter than you. That's the, I can't, if you're looking at starting a company, definitely hire people smarter than you. You don't want to be sitting there training people all the time. And I will tell my employees this, hey, you know what? I learned by just trial and error. So you're going to need to too. If you can do that with your employees, that will make you so successful because they're going to learn things and teach you. And I love that. So always hire people smarter than you and believe in yourself. You can do it. There's times that you're going to think that you can't, but just believe in yourself. By believing in yourself will make you build an empire, whether it be 2 people, 4 people, 10 people, 100, 400 people, whatever it happens to be. If you believe in yourself and you hire smart people underneath you, you will be successful.
Yeah.
And everyone will be successful.
Yes. Because everybody else has their own goals and they reach those by being part of your world.
Yes.
And what I'll say too is around that is like the more people, the more times you make mistakes in hiring, the better you get at spotting talent.
Yes.
And spotting curious people.
Yes.
Because that's the other piece that you were just saying, like hire people that are smarter than you, but also that are curious too.
Yes.
Because if they don't have that curiosity piece, then they're not going to go ever learn something that you haven't taught them.
Oh my God. I've got my assistant right now. She went and just started being curious. And I had a client that said, I want you to do this for us. Like, oh my goodness. I said, are you going to do it, Chanel? Are you going to be able to do it? And she's like, yeah, I'll figure it out. That's a valuable employee. Someone that can just figure it out and do it. And she is, you know, rewarded handsomely because of that.
Yeah.
So I want them to feel like they're not taken advantage of. I want them to feel like that they are also growing the company for themselves. I want every one of my employees, whether they are just my person that's getting the groceries or whether the person that's making financial decisions with them, I want them to believe that they are contributing to the success of the company that they get a piece of. And yeah, that's what I want everyone to believe in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. That went by really fast.
Hey, sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
See ya.